to peace. To peace. Hello, welcome to episode 87 of 2P Starts Live. He's Tim.
And he is Ray.
We hope you enjoy the show.
Today.
You want to just jump into the comic talk?
Sure, let's do it. I'm ready
to
go.
Alright, this week's comic was How Original.
How original was it?
You know, I actually have no idea what you thought of the comic. You've never told me.
I haven't.
Which worries me.
No, don't be worried. but I want to take our readers through the process of this week. So here's Ray's during the podcast. Actually, Ray was like, "Oh, let's do a Lace comic this week." Oh, okay, sounds good. So you know, I come up with an idea. He doesn't really like it, which is fine. That happens often. And he's like, "Well, you had that email that one time, right, with all those Lace comic ideas? Well, why don't you send that my way?" I'm like, "Oh, all right. Here's the list, and you know, I kind of like these two ideas. What do you think?" Yeah, I don't think we're going to do a Lace comic this week. I have a different idea. Okay, you know, it's just like, all right, you know, I'll just deal with whatever Ray's fickle mind will come up with. It was fine, though, because you were, I mean, obviously I had no idea you were even playing Let's Tap. And
it was an issue for me as for how much time we had to do the comic, you know.
And I think it was because you had a time restriction on Tuesday, so we were trying to get
correct.
At least started Monday, so
right.
You weren't really sure how much time on Tuesday you'd have to be working on it.
Yeah, I had that idea for the Let's Tap comic, which would be about them discussing how amazing of characters they are. You know, and you were never quite on to the idea, but you suggested the second panel joke.
I honestly wasn't sure how funny it would end up being, and I was unsure of, you know, how much people were aware of this game, because even I didn't know that it had been released here in the U.S., because it was just so under the radar, you know, so
right.
There's a lot of different things that kind of worried me, but... Well, I was going to say, a lot of people were like, so Tim had absolutely nothing to do with this, uh-oh, because I didn't put a blurb up, and it's like, Ray's completely taken over, but... I did have a little bit of say in the way the joke panned out in
the
end.
And then come Tuesday, I was hoping for you to write the dialogue for the characters.
Yeah.
And then you're like, "Hey, I'm going to bed early. I trust whatever you do." I'm like, "Oh, crap."
Well,
because
I
can't tell you how long I sat at that first panel and typed and typed and typed and typed until I finally had... In the way of what I wanted, but I never felt like I quite nailed what I wanted.
Yeah, and I'll apologize a little bit for that. You know, to me it's like, the words are like easy, kind of, because we kind of talked about how we wanted it to set up, but you do agonize over the language when I don't give you the wording, so
mm-hmm.
I guess I take that for granted that it maybe it's easier for me to figure that out. And reading it, I'm like, yeah, this is Ray's dialogue, not mine, you know, there's a difference, you know, after
but what I loved is comments like Worm, who's like, "Oh, so Ray did everything? Like, alright, I can say this then. Shame, Ray, shame on you."
Oh, no.
It's like, okay, hold on a second, let's analyze this for a moment.
What does that mean?
So,
yeah.
So if I'm the one who'd passed it, like, let's just say I did all the work without Tim, because Tim wasn't available. Let's just say that. Is it really my fault that the comic's so bad? Or is it Tim's fault for not being around to help steer me in the right direction? You know, like,
right.
It's my fault that that you at least got something, and it's Tim's fault that it's not very good. Does that make sense? I mean, that's how I see it, at least.
Yeah, I would see it the same way. I agree.
But I wasn't too worried about the fact that no one knew the characters in the game, because you don't really need to know. All you need to see is that they're generic-looking characters.
Right.
You need to say what game they're from and talk about how original they are. And that's I think that's enough to understand the comic, but for some reason a lot of people are like, "Oh, I didn't get it because I don't know the game." Like,
you can see it.
There's no other background that you need to know for it. I mean, it's not like I'm keeping anything secret from you guys. Like, well, if I knew that, then I'd find this funny. It's like, I don't think that's the case.
You mean the intro to the game doesn't explain the history of these characters?
There's no intro to the game.
Some big storyline,
title screen,
some epic battle or anything like that. No?
I still can't believe they just named them colors. You know, like.
Yeah.
I mean,
even the Pac-Man ghosts, which are all different colors, have names, right?
Right.
Inky, Blinky, Pinky, and Clyde, or whatever. It's like, give them a name.
They at least have creativity to name one of them not a rhyming word.
Right, yeah.
You know, like, they, at least thought, hey, maybe we shouldn't name
there,
one. Little
inside joke there, yeah.
Yeah,
Clyde, what's up with him, yeah.
But, so what did you think? I still don't
so,
know.
So, yeah, I still haven't revealed.
That worries me to no end.
No, it was good. It was, it's not my favorite. I'm not going to be like, wow, I was so wrong. It was amazing. You know, I'm always more concerned of, like, what other people are going to think. So I was like, oh, that's not bad. You know, I can live with that. And then the reception was better than I thought. So all in all, you know, not bad.
I would say the reaction was about what I predicted.
Mm-hmm.
It was, the comic to me was more as a statement than it was a joke.
And I didn't know exactly how you'd work the character there facing the other way, but that, you know, having his arm kind of curl that way
mm-hmm.
helps. I was like, well, I was going to do a side
yes.
view because that would be kind of hard. You can't really
right.
do a side view with these basic characters. And
that's another thing I love, are people like, oh, here's Dre just drawing more basic characters. Like, you know,
look
what?
At all the detail.
You have no idea how long that took me. I was so... And maybe that's what it was for the developers, too, you know? Maybe it just took so much work making glossy little transparent people that, yeah.
Well, yeah, because if they turned them into real characters, they couldn't keep all that glossiness, you know? So,
right.
Like,
yeah.
It's all about the gloss.
Like, hey, you remember that effect we applied for Sonic Heroes where Sonic was really shiny? Let's just put that on these characters. All right. Well, for every great comic comes great comments, and this week's suggestion box was no different. My comment of the week goes to J.D. Fadul, who said, "For what it's worth, I wouldn't mind seeing a sort of subcomic consisting of random scribbles. It works pretty well for a lot of webcomics, notable example Apple Geeks Light. I mean, as long as you're clear that these are just you drawing random things that come to mind and are under no obligation to produce hilarity and high art every time, or to produce to a schedule. They'll probably be funnier for it, too."
So what do you think of that?
It's an interesting concept. I don't agree. Here's why. At some point, if these random scribbles are consistently interesting to some degree, it'll grow to become its own sort of franchise, and then when you read it every week, you expect it to meet that standard of its own franchise. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it'll either disappoint you or be great in its formula. So, like really, it's the same thing as what we have here. To Be Start is just, you know, here's what we do, we make jokes, and here's how they look. And there's a standard that we have, basically. And then every week people come and they say, does this comic meet the standard for To Be Start? And they say yes or no. It doesn't really matter what you say it is, it's just, it'll still come under the same scrutiny over time.
Yeah, it would be a really tough thing to pull off because there are a couple comics that I know of that do something like this where they have a standard comic and then they do something like Black and White every once in a while. And for me, it would be tough because if it was a good idea and it was funny, then I'd be like, well, I want that to be like full color
right.
featured for the week. And if it wasn't that funny, then it doesn't deserve to be done at all. So it would be hard. You'd have to do something like, these specific characters are always going to be drawn in just sketches, and we're just going to do silly, dumb things with them. But the time it would take to be, you know, we'd have a certain standard we'd want to set.
See, this idea would be great if we had ideas just overflowing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? The problem is we have a hard enough time just figuring out exactly what we want for one comic a week. The idea of spreading out beyond that is just ridiculous to me. But
yeah, I would say if I was a halfway decent artist myself and could do, and I was,
you,
it
we
wasn't
could,
the
hey,
quality.
Maybe that, that's, we could have a Tim's Take section.
I guess we could, but again, I'm not committing to anything like that. So
this comic used to be good.
Yeah, that would be every comment people leave for that comic. I don't know. I don't know if I see it happening. Something I do see happening, though, Ray, I don't know if you saw my Twitter the other day, but the Rock Band development kit, have you seen that?
Yes. I saw this. What are you implying?
I'm implying that your music needs to be on Rock Band.
Now, here's the... do you have any songs in mind?
Well, the problem is the vocals, I guess.
No, I agree. But if we, like, I could have something from, like, Pixel Vision or something, you know? I guess I only really want a song in like, Guitar Hero or Rock Band if it's guitar-heavy, you know? Like, it's frustrating when I play something like a Beastie Boys song, like, what's the one? Sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a turntable part. Like, someone's scratching on a turntable, and I'm, like, playing notes on a guitar. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, I want to play guitar notes, you know? And I don't want that same effect. Like, if I have a synthesizer that sounds similar to a guitar riff, then I might be up for it. But I'd have to kind of look around a little bit.
See, it doesn't bother me too much, I think, because it's like, I like the song, and I'm kind of just playing along with it. I'm not going to, you know, analyze the realism there, but...
Yeah, but it's like, if you were playing, like, the drums, you know, and all of a sudden each drum you hit was, like, a piano key.
Well,
and in fact,
I really
don't like this idea that they're doing, because before it was like, oh man, I cleared the hardest song in Rock Band or Guitar Hero, but now there's so many games and so many songs and all these bonus songs, now downloadable content, there's just so much of it, it loses its importance, and now it's just
See, to me, it's never really been about that. The problem I have with Rock Band is there's, like, maybe four songs that I would actually care to sing to. It's mostly the vocal part that bugs me. Like, I don't really want to sing the female songs. A lot of these songs I don't know, or I sort of know what they are, but I certainly don't know the lyrics. And I'm not about to learn the lyrics to songs I don't care about just so I can play them. So the ability to... The idea that some artists that I do care about, that whose music I do want to hear, might just go ahead and put their music on Rock Band for me to download would be great, you know?
Yeah, and before it was like, you know, hey, what songs would be great for this Guitar Hero game? And then it's like, okay, now, oh man, it'd be so great if we could get these songs, but the licenses won't let us.
Mm-hmm.
And then to... well, the licenses want us to use these songs because they're new, or, like, we're going to get some cool deals off this. And then it's like, okay, now let's pick songs, all kinds of songs that would be good for bands, but not really paying attention to certain parts being way more boring than others. I mean,
yeah.
I still can't believe going to E For All, and they only have, like, five songs selectable on Guitar Hero World Tour, and one of them was, like, the Linkin Park song,
which was
the most boring and repetitive song for any instrument. And it was, like, one of the...
But they're like, oh, this is Linkin Park. Everyone loves them, right?
Right.
But it doesn't work. It doesn't work for the game.
Exactly. Like, okay, some people might enjoy listening to it, but to play is just horrible.
Yeah.
Well, what's your comment of the week?
My comment of the week is going to go to Free Play. It was just such a random comment. It was kind of funny to me. It says, funny comic, and I had a dream about 2-Piece Start last night. I saw on Twitter that you were doing the podcast, and then my mom came in and grounded me. Strange. And by the way, I think I'm Grave Rising. I don't remember. First of all, he's not Grave Rising. I looked up. He's had four comments. One of them was a Grave Rising comment.
Oh, gotcha.
But just the idea that someone has having a dream about 2-Piece Start is kind of funny.
Creepy.
Creepy. That could qualify for creepy comments.
Well, hey, do you want to take some calls?
Let's do it, if we have them.
Looks like we have Tristan on the line. Tristan, how's it going?
Oh, it's good. How are you guys
doing? Hey, Tristan. Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I think it's actually amazing that I'm actually on the podcast.
Yeah, what do you know?
Is it everything you ever expected and wanted?
Yeah, it's something that I never thought was actually ever going to ever actually happen.
I love that kind of stuff.
I didn't think it was going to happen either, and then Ray just was like last week, oh, by the way, we're taking calls today. Oh okay.
Tim's like, I haven't even freshened up yet. What am I supposed to do?
I'm not ready.
Well, hey, what's your question?
Oh, you see, I've actually started my own podcast recently, so I was wondering if you had any advice for beginners like me.
Oh, boy, do I ever.
Ray is now absolutely the expert. So
this isn't going to be a 30-minute lesson, is it?
I'm going to try to stay away from as many video game analogies as possible, but,
No, go ahead.
No.
The more Sonic analogies, better.
Yeah, okay, here's the thing. You need to make sure you're doing it for the right reasons, okay? So you don't want to be making Shadow the Hedgehog. You want to be making Sonic Rush, if that makes any sense.
There you go.
Okay, got it.
here's what I would recommend. First, you need... now, this is not directed at you specifically, but for any podcaster, you first need to realize that you're simply not interesting to listen to for a half hour. Once you understand that, then you need to realize, what would make people want to listen to me for a half an hour? There needs to be a reason for it. For us, we run to be start. So the reason for people to listen to our podcast is to get the behind-the-scenes info, something that they could only come to us for, that they won't be getting anywhere else. No one's ever going to be able to make a show that would tell people more about what we do than we can. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the most important part. The second part is doing everything you can to make the show as interesting as possible. And I try to do that through editing and good audio and music and different segments. Generally speaking, the norm for podcasts is a few people rambling on forever with no real sense of direction, bad audio, and
no editing,
and then they joke around a lot about how their microphones suck, and, you know, like, they make jokes about how bad of a job they're doing, and when everyone does that, no one ever wants to listen to those anymore. So those would be my two main things. More specifically, I would say to keep it short and sweet and memorable. Just through editing, I'll drop entire segments for the purpose of it had a few funny moments, but overall, it's just not good enough for the show. It depends on what you want to do.
We hear a lot of people say, like, oh, why you edited something out? I wanted to hear that. And really, you didn't. Ray made sure that you didn't hear anything that was just going to waste your time and not be interesting. The reason you're listening to the podcast is because Ray has edited it. And
right.
I think that's pretty important.
I tend to stutter a lot, and I edit all that. Like, I edit it so that we're funnier than we really are. That's the wonderful part of it.
Ray has a major speech impediment, but because of editing, he sounds totally
normal.
Great. I'm losing you, Ray.
That doesn't sound good.
Doesn't that sound like a speech impediment? I mean,
I don't know. That seems a little unnatural.
This happens, Tristan, this happens every once in a while, and it'll have him just repeating the same word over and over again. It's hilarious. That timing was great, though. His microphone has issues.
This was like the, well, thanks
yes,
thing, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what happens all the time. We'll see if we can get him back up here.
Well, it was great being on.
Yeah, I hope you got some good tips there. And drop us a line in the comments with your podcast, and we'll take a listen and maybe give you more tips or whatever.
All right. See ya.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Oof. Oh, my goodness. That's the worst I've ever had it there.
Yeah, it was so funny.
It looked for a good
you
show.
You had a really, really bad speech impediment. It was great. And Tristan could hear it, too, so we enjoyed that for a minute there.
Well, do you want to take another call?
Oh, sure. As long as it doesn't break the podcast again.
I hope not. Let's see here. Just a second. All right. Hey, welcome to 2P Start Live. Who is this?
This is Blaster.
Say it again.
Say your name one more time.
Blaster.
Blaster. Got it.
Can you hear me? Because I can't really be really loud because it's 3:00 in the morning here.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Where are you located?
Eastern Asia.
Wow. Eastern Asia. My
no
goodness.
Way. Wow.
Well, how you doing?
Well, I'm fine. A little sleepy, of course.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, I would imagine.
So, hey, do you have a question for us?
Yes. You have a topic of the week and a Black Dune Award, right?
Correct.
How do you choose this? I mean, if there are many things you want to discuss, or there are many things that sucks, how did you choose from them?
I think topic of the week sort of comes and goes, but Black Doom can be tough because we want to find not just something that sucks, but something that sucks and would be interesting and funny to talk about.
Right. I mean, and we could talk about how bad a certain graphic on a tree looks, but it's just not that interesting to talk about. You know, so
right.
The Black Doom segment is kind of where we whine a lot, and we're not really whiners. Like, the internet is full of whiners, and it's really irritating. And so we're not whiners at heart, and naturally we're very optimistic about things, and we don't like to complain a lot. So we really kind of have to force ourselves to hate something. You know, it has to really be bad for us to hate it as much as we do.
It's like our venting time, because most of our lives we're just fine, everything's fine, and then we just really get it out when something's bugging us. So I think that's everyone's kind of favorite segment, so it's nice that it turns out good most of the time.
Oh, I have a request here.
Okay.
It's about a script in your podcast. Uh-huh. I listen to at least one episode per day. You know, the script is always the same. So I just want to say, can you just at least have two kinds of scripts that you can exchange every time so that we don't hear the same things every podcast?
Ray, what do you think?
Yes, for just for you specifically, I will try to change things up just a little bit. I think part of the problem is that when you're listening to one every day, it becomes a lot more repetitive than the once a week that we release True. Them. But taking that into consideration, I think after having gone, 86 podcasts or whatever, I think there's some room for a little bit of change, so I will take you up on that. But thanks for calling in, Blaster. We really appreciate it, and hope, you know, take care.
Anyway, got to sleep. Bye.
Eastern Asia, he said, right?
I believe so, yeah. I had no idea.
Maybe somebody needs to translate our podcast into different languages.
Oh, boy. Well, hey, do you want to take one more call?
I don't know. It's up to you.
Hey, welcome to 2P Start Live. Who is this?
Ralphio the Frog, I guess.
Ralphio the Frog. Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Good.
I just wanted to ask about the style, you know.
Yeah.
I just want to know, you know, when did it... when was it given birth to, I guess? And how did it develop?
I ask that myself all the time. When I went to college, I started doing... monthly comics for the school newspaper, and then that's when I started using Illustrator for vector artwork. So it was very kind of boxy looking and sharp edges galore, and I'll show a couple pictures here on the podcast of what it used to look like. And so Tim had seen my comics through my old website, and when he approached me about doing a webcomic, I basically just took the style I was already doing and tried doing it a little better and adding color to it. And since then, it's just been a slow process of some things I like, and so I just let them stick, and other things I don't like, and I let them drop. For example, I used to have everything with a very dark, thick, black outline, and now that has been converted into kind of the clear white outline that you see today.
You can certainly see from the first comic to more recent comics a pretty drastic change, in my opinion, but... if you looked comic to comic, you would see little changes here and there, and it really was a much more gradual process, but I like where it's gone.
I'm kind of curious myself as to where it'll go from here. Yeah, so now, Ralphio the Frog, how long have you been following us for?
I don't know. I think it was first time I saw your guys' work was the Nights into Dream Shadow the Hedgehog thing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But the first time I started following it was the Professor Layton comic.
Oh, yeah,
cool.
That's a favorite
Very
of mine.
Cool. Well, hey, anything else that you want to say?
Not much, except please don't come to my house.
For you, I will not. The guy in Asia, though, I'll be over there pretty shortly.
Okay.
Well, hey, thanks for the call, Ralphio.
Oh, thanks for talking to me.
Later.
You bet. All right, well, I guess that'll do it. How about a little bit of Ricka Ricka remix? Now I gotta do this without reading the script. In the remix segment, I like to show a video game remix favorite of mine, and you can...
You're lost without your script.
My anchor's gone. Curse you, Blaster. I like to show off a video game remix that I enjoy a lot, and I will show you where you can find it on the internet. It's a remix from Super Mario Land called Why So Serious, and was done by Halk and Chthonic. So take a listen to a short sample. you'd like to add this to your music collection, I've got a link up right now on the page you grabbed this episode of To Be Start Live from. And the link is also there for those of you listening to the M4A version of our show. Boy, that's tough.
That is hard. You better write down just a second script and...
I think I need to do it. For now, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, but next week, Blaster, next week.
Yeah.
And now it's time to rise from your grave.
Rise from your grave.
Many two-piece start fans tend to lurk behind the shadows, hiding their faces by reading our comics but never leaving a single comment.
How dare they?
So when one finds the courage to break free from the shackles of silence, we salute you.
All right, we got a rise from your grave from Yeah568, who was on the podcast last week. And time for me to officially rise from my grave.
Rise from my grave.
I always find when you're listening to yourself, it's really awkward. Really awkward. Yeah, it is, but you get over it after a while.
And our other grave riser goes to Junamo, who said, "Greetings from Finland. You asked for someone who has been reading from the third comic to rise from your grave. Well, let's double it. I've been reading since the sixth comic, and I've missed only one podcast. So this is my rise from your grave comment. I really like the artwork and would love to see more wallpapers. The comic was great entertainment during my military service, but basic Nokia phone with Opera Mini is not exactly the optimal machine to read your comics. Keep up the good work, and good luck in finding a girlfriend. P.S. This comic used to be good." Oh, wow. Thank you very much. Man, from Finland, from Asia. This is Canada. What's going on here?
Not just from Finland, but trying to read our comments on his little mobile phone.
Yeah, that's insane.
Like, that's some dedication there, man. That's really awesome.
Serious dedication. It really makes me wonder, because before, I used to think, oh, imagine if people were actually reading from, you know, a foreign country. But I'm like, nah, that's just a pipe dream. You know,
right.
Like, I can only imagine that because there's some possibilities of it, but I don't really think that's what's going on. But
sure enough,
clearly I'm wrong now. It's definitely grown. Which will bring me to a very interesting point, which is, I haven't told you about this, Tim. This will be news to everyone. But recently I was given an offer to do a paid webcomic.
What?
Yeah, I was given an offer to do a one panel strip twice a week for some money for 6 months at least.
Wow.
And I gotta say, I declined for two reasons.
Yeah, give us the details.
Well, one of which was just doing our webcomic takes enough time. So if I were to do this webcomic, it would be adding to the workload. So it's definitely an either or situation in that case. I wouldn't want to drop 2-piece start just for the purpose of getting more money.
Did they say how much money?
I don't want to discuss that on the show.
But just edit it out and tell me. Oh, it's not bad. That's
good.
Yeah,
it's not bad at all, right?
And twice a week?
Yes, twice a week.
Wow.
Because really, this is more of just a hobby thing for me, more than it is an occupation. I already have a job, and so I'd like to keep this as a back burner thing where we do it for fun instead of do it because I'm in a contract too for 6 months.
Well, you're already
in
a contract for like...
For life.
30 years or something.
Right. And on top of that, I had looked at this person's work, because basically he would be writing the comics and I'd be drawing them, similar to the situation we have here. And his style of humor was definitely into the areas we never like to go into.
That right there would do it for me.
That's the deal breaker for me, yeah. Where it's like, you know what, I couldn't live for 6 months doing two comics a week using jokes that I might not enjoy.
What site is this for? Oh, he's the one that, yeah, he does...
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's about the edgiest stuff out there, some of the stuff in that comic.
So it's not quite aligned with what I'd like to do, but I did really appreciate the offer.
Oh, that's very flattering. That's a very popular comic, and he's definitely knows what he's doing, so...
Well, what do you say we get down to the nitty-gritty of the dreaded Black Doom Award? every week, Tim and I both mention a terrible choice made related to video games in honor of the most atrocious character Sonic Team has ever created. You like how to switch that up? Black Doom.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Well, what's your Black Doom for the week?
All right. It's going to go to Sega.
Oh.
I hate Sega. There's so many problems. I mean, we could probably give a Black Doom award every week to Sega, and it would be legitimate, you know? Recently, they released, for the iPhone, Streets of Rage.
Oh, I did not know about this.
Yeah, another poorly emulated, poorly put together, quickly put together port for $5. Here's the thing. The App Store has so many amazing games under $5 that I don't know why anyone would want to buy these games. First of all, it's not just that they're charging $5. It's that they literally spend no time. They take the ROM and they put the ROM in a box that lets you control the game, and not very well. So Sonic had a lot of like frame rate and performance issues, which is kind of a problem for Sonic. Seeing as it's supposed to go fast.
Yes.
And this is the iPhone we're talking about. This is a very powerful device compared to the old Genesis, right?
Especially the iPhone 3GS, because I've been playing that for a while, and it really pushes graphics pretty well.
And so here's the thing. They released Golden Axe, which was maybe a little bit better, but still had a lot of issues. So now Streets of Rage is actually literally unplayable on the iPhone 3GS.
Really?
But the frame rate issue is so bad on the 3GS that you can't play the game.
Wow.
So the fact that they could release it on the new, like, the new, fast, like, awesome iPhone and it doesn't work at all is just ridiculous.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so frustrating. And, I'm almost sad in a way because they have recently done some good things. And that is, The Conduit they published, House of the Dead, Overkill, what was it? Mad World, right?
Correct.
All of them were quality titles, mature games on the Wii, and none of them have done well sales-wise. So it almost reinforces the idea that just turn and churn, you know? Like,
yeah.
Take your old crap and put it out there. People will buy the Sega Tennis crap and Mario and Sonic the Olympics. These horrible games.
Listen, I bought Mad World, and I will not be buying Mario and Sonic at the Winter Olympic Games. So
you're doing the right thing.
I am doing my part.
I will say on a side note, I did download the light version of Mega Man 2 for the iPhone, which was Doom Award a number of months ago.
Yes.
And they have updated it, okay? So they did an update at some point, which was supposed to bring back classic mode, where you didn't have like moon jumping and stuff like that.
Right. Everything that made it not Mega Man.
Even on the normal mode, I started playing, I'm like, it defaults to classic mode, and I thought it was like the new modern crappy mode, really, I was like, oh, dear Lord. Correct me if I'm wrong, but if you get hit, don't you get pushed back automatically and you can't shoot?
Yes. Correct.
Okay, in this game, you can still move and shoot, even when you're, like,
even
flashing
when you're
and hit.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's
so... And you don't take damage nearly as much, so you could practically
Listen, we've been over this a million times. We could go on for hours.
I'm just telling you, speaking from experience, it really was as bad as I made it out to be. So download the demo and try it out. But back to
just
Sega.
Just for kicks, yeah.
Very, very disappointing. So.
Well, speaking of disappointing Sega things, I had the chance to play Let's Tap, and I wrote a review recently.
Yes.
Which is also my Black Doom Award.
Your review is the Black Doom Award?
No, the game
How
itself.
Dare I?
A game within the game. Did you get a chance to read my review yet?
I did.
Okay. Now, at one point I mentioned Gem Game, which is not a game. It's one of the more atrocious things I think I've ever played.
This is the visualization thing,
within
right?
Within the visualizer mode, there is one theme called Gem Game, but unlike the other visualizers where you just tap to play around with visuals and random effects and stuff, this one actually has a purpose. You have a cylinder with a pool of little, balls at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And you have little containers in the air that can hold a ball or two. And when you tap, you bounce the balls off the ground, and they fall back down. Now, if you, depending on how hard you tap, chooses how high up in the air they go. But the point of the game is to try to make the ball go into the capsule floating in the air, the little container, right? You have no choice over direction, okay? Like, you have no ability to change how they fall, like, what direction they fall in the air, because there's just, like, 50 of these things. And you just tap, and they go up in the air, and you just hope they land when they fall. You hope they land in the little capsule. Now, this might not be a problem on its own. You know, it might be kind of fun to just tap and let it fall and see how many you can get. Because once you clear one, then a new one appears that requires two. So eventually there are three capsules of three that you need to fill. And once you clear that, it reverts back to one capsule with one to fill.
Right.
Okay, so it's just a loop. It's a continuous loop. But apparently, you can quote-unquote beat the game. And I'm like, how do you beat this game if it just loops? Like, I can get the balls in the capsules by just randomly tapping and hoping they fall in. Right. But how do I actually beat it? Well, I read up on this, and it was so depressing. Yeah, because if you beat this, it unlocks one more visualizer.
Oh, no.
Okay, so there's actually a reason to want to beat it. And here's what happens. When you fill a container with three balls of the same color, it outputs a ruby ball. Okay? It transforms them into a ruby ball. The fact, just to be, okay, just, like, these are multicolored balls, so the chances of happening to get the same color in a capsule is totally random.
It's
like,
random, there's
no ability to choose which color you want in there, okay? And they create a ruby ball. Well, here's the thing. Now, if you take three rubies, you can make a sapphire. And if you take three sapphires, you can make a rainbow. And once you make a rainbow, you beat the game.
That's like,
are you kidding me?
That's like a one in a million right there.
Seriously, it's like, how long would I need to be tapping this freaking cardboard box to make these things happen to line up with all the right colors? And here's the most depressing part. You could let's say you have three capsules of three, and you fill up one with all rubies. Like, let's just imagine I got three rubies to begin with. But you're still trying to fill up the other ones, because it won't clear until you get them all filled.
Jeez.
You have a chance of replacing the top sphere in one of the containers. So while I'm trying to fill up the other ones, I can still accidentally replace the top color and screw it. It's like, this is the worst game I've ever played. This is not even a game. It's just
No, it's not. It's
just
like saying
torture.
Flip a coin 100 times, and they all have to be heads.
It's like, come on, this is the dumbest thing ever.
That's awful. That's really awful.
It was so depressing to no end.
Well, as I was reading your review, I just kept thinking, like, this is a good, like, trick mechanic to part of something much larger. Like,
that's exactly it.
None of it is really a complete game. Like, no matter what game you're playing, there's limitations to what you can do or control, because you're not holding a controller. You're just tapping.
Right.
So
So sometimes it excels. Like with Tap Runner, it just feels good. You're running and you're jumping.
Seems good, yeah.
Right. And then that's why I'm like, why didn't you just make a whole game out of this?
Yeah.
You could have made a whole bunch of stages very differently. You could have made it like an adventure, you know?
A lot of
like,
different characters, interesting characters.
Yeah, there's so much you could do there. And that's the number one complaint I had from friends. They're like, oh, 4-4 is the last stage? I'm like, yeah. Like, why didn't they do more? Like, this is such a simple formula. You could do like 100 stages off of this. Like, I know.
Jeez.
Well, but 15 minutes later, we're done with all the stages. You know, it's like, really. I mean, after Choo Choo Rocket and Billy Hatcher, it's like Billy Hatcher was stemmed from a multiplayer experience. And they're like, hey, we could make a really cool single player game out of this. And they did. They made a fairly decent game out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and here we have the complete opposite.
Yep.
All right. Well, finally, we'd like to end this show with Musical Misfits. Some great video game songs have been lost in the shuffle over time, and we play one in full after the show's over for those who are interested. I get to trade off every other week with our listeners' suggestions, so you guys can enjoy my choice of A Jack in the Box from, shock, Billy Hatcher and the Giant Egg.
There you go.
So that will do it for this edition of 2P Start Live. Join us every Wednesday for a brand new comic, and every Monday for a brand new podcast, just like the one you heard here, except better. With that, he's Tim.
And he is Ray.
We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.